Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. God, I ask that all of us are lifted up by you in this time. Amen. In the first of the readings we heard today from Genesis, we hear the story of Abram. You all are much more familiar with Abram by his name Abraham. But before Abram's life was transformed, he became Abraham. He was Abram. He was married to Sarai, who would become Sarah. So God speaks to Abram and tells him, "Don't be afraid." Now, there was a good reason why God said this. Abram had defeated a much larger army of a confederation of kings. He had reason to be afraid because at any moment he would be attacked. Retribution was to be expected. God says, "I am your shield." And Abram needed a shield, knowing that he could be in harm's way at any moment. And God says, "Your reward will be great." Because Abram had turned down other rewards because he was doing what he knew was right. God knows what we need and God will help. God knows we are afraid and tells us not to fear. Don't be afraid. I am your shield and I offer you promises. I think it feels good to hear God say, "Don't be afraid, I am your shield and I offer you promises." And yet, we don't always get what we want. And Abram, who was tired and weary and had taken huge risks in God's name, wasn't sure if he'd made the right decisions. God told Abram not to be afraid because he was afraid for good reason. Yet God also gave him reason to put away his fear. God tells us not to be afraid and gives us reasons to put away our fear. And yet, we don't always find it. We don't always know it. We don't always feel it. So having been blessed in many ways by God, Abram was struck with a deep sense of shame because he was childless. He and Sarai were childless in a culture where everything that matters comes down to your legacy, and he didn't have it. There was a foreigner who lived in his household who was kind of his right-hand man who was going to be his heir, and in this cultural context, that is not enough. I can tell you in our cultural context, especially here at church, where we make families in our own way, where we choose our families, I don't think the weight of this can truly be felt. Because, you know, we look around and we say, "Oh, well, we're family." In this context, there was no create your own family. It was you had to have heirs to have worth. And so he cries out to God in so much sadness and says, "What's the point? What is the point of a blessing? I have no one to pass on my legacy." His fear wasn't about politics. His fear wasn't about being attacked in battle. His fear was about his own identity and selfhood as someone who was aging and was not yet a parent. So he says in frustration to God, and one of the reasons why I love this passage is it's one of the many places in the Bible where someone speaks to God in frustration, because trust me, God can handle it. God is stronger than you can imagine, and when you're upset with God, tell God you're upset. And says, "You know, my life and Sarah's life are essentially meaningless anyway." So, and in the way that in Genesis, God can be so physically there, he escorts Abram outside and looks up at the night sky and says, "See all those stars up there? Your descendants will be as plentiful as the stars." So what's special about Abram is that he didn't just believe God. He didn't just believe this message of God. He believed in God. Not that God existed, but believed in God. It's kind of hard to believe in God, to trust God fully. And as we know, Abraham's descendants were many, and God did do these things. God tells us, don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. And yet we tremble in fear. Where does our fear come from? I've mentioned it before, and I got to say, 3 a.m. is the worst time of day for me. I don't know what it is about my, what's it called, Gideon rhythm or whatever it is, but 3 a.m. is when I wake up and I'm like, panic about church! And this man right here is like, stop, go to sleep. But that is my moment. And I have a hard time thinking, you know, God said to Abram, don't be afraid. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, it's not going to work. And it's not just Saturday nights, it's every night. So, and I think that I'm not alone, maybe not in the panic about church, but in whatever else in our lives, because what matters so much to us, what matters the most to us, can scare us horribly. And when what matters most to us is God, that anxiety can lessen a little bit. God tells us, do not be afraid. Some might call it a lack of faith. I like to think that it's an abundance of enthusiasm. We all know it is so hard to set aside our worries and to trust. And setting aside our worries and trusting isn't to say, don't do anything about it. Ah, it'll work out. Don't worry. It's about getting ourselves out of the way, getting all of that stuff of ourselves, that messiness that tells us we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, we can't handle it. Get that stuff out of the way, and then our true self can emerge, and that is what God is calling us to. There are things that are unseen, and things that are unheard, and things that are unbelievable. And as we know, we're not talking about the things you can or cannot see with your eyes, the things you can or cannot hear with your ears, or even the things that you can or cannot believe with your mind. We're talking about something much greater than that. These promises aren't about physical ability, they are about spiritual power. And we have it. We have more spiritual power than you realize. Us human beings, us in this room, MCC Tampa. Troy Perry likes to, the founder of the Metropolitan Community Church, is Reverend Elder Troy Perry, likes to often use the phrase, what he heard in his mind's ear. I love that. You hear about your mind's eye, but Troy Perry talks about he heard it in his mind's ear. But what he is saying is that the message that God puts on our hearts, the message that almost 50 years ago when Reverend Elder Troy Perry was not yet Reverend Elder, and had been ousted by his church for being an openly gay man and had lost everything, and that voice spoke in his mind's ear and said, like Abram, going out and looking at the stars, you have something amazing you are going to create. And while in this story from Genesis, the focus is on, well, it's on a lot of things, but the focus is largely on descendants that are blood relatives. But look what we can create. Having children, it's amazing. But we create in so many ways. And as many of us know, myself included, that the kids that we raise are often not our biological kids. And yet we still create them. We create who they are by loving and nurturing them. We create the kids who are using these school supplies, even though we will never meet them. We didn't bring them into this world, but we are creating a world in which they get to become who God calls them to be. And that is what a legacy really is. As we start our celebrations for our 45th anniversary, we are well aware of the power of our legacy. As I said at the beginning of service, yesterday was the actual 45th anniversary of the first service where a committed group of friends, led by Reverend Elder well, I don't think he is actually an elder, led by Reverend Lee Carlton, came into not literally this building space, but this space of the community of Tampa and created what we have here. Y'all, my parents hadn't even met yet. And they created this place that is my home and my family. Many people might not understand the value of what we create as a community, why it matters, why we cling to it. I find myself saying, you know, those casual conversations that you run into people and they say, oh, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, that's nice. I can't even sum up what it is that I do. I don't just pastor a church. I walk with you, I journey with you in a community that is a family. And yes, lots of churches feel like families in all the complicated ways that families are. But we cling to each other because we are each other's lives. We are what matters. We are the ones who will be there for each other. And a lot of that comes from the fact that we had a rough road to get here, many of us. So we create family. We create spaces and communities that are safe havens for each other. We are working hard right now, finding out ways that we can greatly expand our church, greatly expand our reach, not out there, you know, in a knocking on doors, have you heard about Jesus kind of way, but in a you matter, you are important, and I want to get to know you. I want to help create you. I want you to help create me. That is what we do as a community. And we say to each other, because God speaks through us, we say, don't be afraid. I will be your shield. And when things fall apart, and things fall apart. This summer, come on, it has been hard. We have had so much grief and loss. Someone killed 49 of our people, of this community, not literally our church community, but this is our family. And we've lost people very close to our hearts who are part of this church family. Things have fallen apart in many ways, and yet people come here to face it. Because as a community, and it's not me just me saying this, it's all of us saying this, I will be your shield. Do not be afraid. When Reverend Lee started this church, it was only a couple years after MCC became a thing. There's a little in the history, a little uncertainty about whether we were the fifth church or the seventh church, so I'm claiming fifth. And I bet by the end of the day I will have gotten an email, because this is on Facebook, saying, no, actually. Anyway, it doesn't matter what order. We were in the first few churches of this denomination, and that does matter. Because we've been here a long time and we're going to be here a long time. And what we have offered from day one is this message: do not be afraid, I am your shield. In a time when people came to church and didn't give their real names because they were terrified that somehow that list would get out and they would lose their jobs, we said, do not be afraid, I will be your shield. I will call you by whatever name you want to be called, like God renaming Abram, Abraham, as the promises came. We promised. And we took care of this community, and we will continue. And now let's look towards this gospel lesson from Luke, where we also hear, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And this passage sometimes gets quoted in a, like, just trust in God, it'll work out kind of way. I love that idea in theory, and yet, if we just trusted God and it would work out, we wouldn't be here hour after hour, day after day in this church. We would just say, it'll just work out. But what this passage does is it gives us reassurance that what is seen, what is tangible, what we can taste and touch, isn't all there is. There is much more than what we can experience with our senses. It reminds us that the fears that we live in here on earth are not what limit us. There is a vastness of who we are called to be that is so far beyond the 3 o'clock anxiety attack, so beyond the, I'm not going to come to church today because I don't like how I look. And I know that that happens. So beyond the, I don't have the energy to get out of bed because I'm depressed. So beyond the, I won't go to the doctor to get this whatever it is checked out because I'm terrified that I'm going to be told it's cancer. It is so far beyond all of these things that stop us. There is this message that says, do not be afraid. Life is hard. Life is hard. There's no way around that. But we can do hard things. That is the good news. And the fighting and the miscommunications and the stress of life, because that is what life is full of, right? Are just these things that we stumble over that get in the way. The Bible tells us again and again, do not be afraid. It tells us to lovingly admonish one another. When things aren't going right, sort it out with love. Don't be afraid to say, this matters more than anything to me. Trust in what you cannot even imagine. Trust in something that is bigger, so big that you can't even picture it. The promise is bigger than you can possibly comprehend. Abram and Sarah are crying out in sadness for the child they don't have yet, grieving their inability to create a child, and yet at the very same time, those descendants of theirs already exist somewhere else, beckoning to come in. And we are those descendants. That is the point of this whole narrative. Those descendants are what grow into who we are here today at MCC Tampa, celebrating our 45 years together. It's not without struggle, it's not without conflict, it's not without hardship, but it is with so much beauty that I can hardly stand it. Because we have cried out, who has not cried out like Abram, saying, I don't have what I need? Who hasn't been angry at God and said, you're not giving me what I need? And then what does it feel like to find it? To get that promise, to get there. In 1971, this church became a reality. And God told us not to fear. And then we watched MCC churches burn around this country. We watched the violence. We watched all of the ways that it was dangerous to say, I am a Christian, I love God, and I am an LGBT person, or I am a person who supports gay and lesbian people. And God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just keep doing it. And look what we've made. Look what we have. Amen. Yes. We are reminded in the gospel text that it is not the tangible treasures. I mean, this is a treasure. This building is a treasure. But we are more than the building. What we have created here is a treasure beyond imagination. Look around you. Look, literally, look around you. Look at the people sitting next to you. Tell your neighbors, I treasure you. I know, I hear some giggling, it's a little awkward. I treasure you, come on. Even if you're kind of like, this is weird, just do it. Because it feels really good to be treasured. And I will tell you, I treasure you. I thank you. This is our family. This is us living God's promise. God's promises are perfect. People aren't perfect, but God's promise is always perfect. God promises us that we don't have to be afraid. God promises us that God is our shield, and God works through us. So I promise you that you don't have to be afraid, and I promise you that we are your shield, no matter what we have to face. We will continue to grow. We will continue to celebrate. We will continue to love God and show this community that we are worthy and that everyone is worthy of God's love. And that is the message that Troy wanted people to know when he started MCC. And that is the message that Lee Carlton brought to the Tampa Bay area as the first MCC church in this area, the first LGBT organization to be incorporated in this area. This is our legacy. And now we get to have our next step, which is going forward, promising each other and this community that we don't have to be afraid, that we are each other's shield. Amen.